Hello and welcome to our latest Grazia Life Advice. This time, an actor who first shot to global fame as Lisbeth Salander in the movie adaptation of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
I'm Noomi Rapaz. I'm this week's guest in the Grazia Life Advice podcast.
Noomi shares her hectic schedule, shooting and promoting her latest projects around the globe, and she has some advice about flying that might not be very popular. She says, don't drink on the plane.
You don't want to have a balloon face and like be, you know, have fingers where you can't put your rings on and you can't fit your shoes. So I was like, I'm going to try it. And it actually works.
Noomi describes herself as somebody who is all in and she loves a good party. One of her pieces of advice is you only remember the big nights out, not the times you stayed in.
It was like tattooed into my mind. And I was like, that's right. It's a really good advice. And then I was like, I went to the party, obviously.
And we talk about a mental trick that Noomi has where she talks herself out of feeling scared of things by simply pretending to be braver.
You manage to like trick yourself to feel like it's possible, or you infuse some bravery into your system by saying that you are brave, and then all of a sudden you are a little bit braver.
Please bear with the slightly poorer recording quality on this chat. It's definitely worth it for all Noomi Rapace's brilliant and sometimes quirky life tips. Here she comes. Hi, Noomi. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to paint a little picture for our listeners. You're standing up, which I'm really into. I don't know why more people don't stand up to do these Zoom calls.
I like to move.
I'm into it, yeah. And you've just been for a walk. You've got back. How are you feeling?
Good. My body is a bit tired. I've been working nonstop for like 18 months. I just finished shooting Django, a TV series in Romania, came back to London, was here for like 24 hours, went to LA for press for this movie I'm promoting, and then came back to London, did press. So my body's like between the character, I'm still kind of dreaming the character's weird dreams, and then I'm kind of talking about another movie, and now I'm talking to you. So I'm like a little bit between worlds, and my voice is a bit broken.
That must be quite like a sort of fracturing life experience to be like moving into and out of acting roles and being yourself as well and connecting with your family. Like, how do you stay grounded in these kind of times?
I mean, I do stick to quite, I have my routines. I work out every day. I do ice baths for my face. I'm a bit nerdy when it comes to my routines. I really want to, I keep them, and I'm quite strict with myself. So I think the structure I kind of created around me helps me stay focused and on track. And then I would say that my son is definitely the one that always would kind of pull me back to reality if I start to drift. It's like, you're not number one in this house. Come on.
Which brings us seamlessly onto your first piece of advice for us, which I think your son told you, didn't he? Could you tell me what he said?
I mean, yeah. My son said to me, and we had a conversation about brushing teeth, and he said, you wet the toothbrush first and then you put toothpaste on. And I was like, no, I do on a dry toothbrush, put toothpaste, and then I wet it. So most of the times the toothpaste would slip off and you have to do it again. And he's like, wow. Why? I mean, that's really like, it would be better the other way around.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, that's so true. So I recently, just like, I would say a couple of months ago, I started like following his advice and doing it the right way, which is, you know, spares me a lot of toothpaste on my fingers and trying
life
to
changing.
You know, make it. Yeah, it is actually.
And do you think that there's anything else in your life that you've been doing upside down or the wrong way around?
I mean, 100%, if I would start thinking about it. I'm still like, I am a person that tries to correct my mistakes. And if I do keep, like, I don't want to keep doing the same mistakes. If I've done something, I feel like this is not working. I try to like look at it and like analyze what went wrong. What can I improve? But certain things you just have, it's like blind spots, you know, it's like you kind of, you know, how you put your shoes on. You just like, I try to always like, I'm lazy. I don't want to tie them all the time. And I try to squeeze. And if you just have had your nails done, for example, you know, I'm too, you know, I kind of use them too soon. So I wipe all the nail polish off on my socks because I'm trying to slide my shoes on, you know, stuff like that. It's just dumb, you know, but yeah.
I was having a really like ridiculous conversation with a friend recently about whether you wash your legs in the shower.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Because I've just always washed my legs.
And they were like, why would you wash your legs? Your legs aren't dirty or like sweaty or whatever. But I just feel like if you're doing the whole body, you know, the legs are part of it.
I scrub myself. I like to have those kind of like brushes, like peeling gloves and stuff, because I do have this thing that, you know, feel like you have dead skin and you need to get rid of. But it's not good if you do it too often, I guess, because then you rub off and you get.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do wash my legs.
Okay, good. Because I was suddenly like, am I really weird washing my legs? Anyway.
No, I do wash. Do you brush your teeth in the shower, though?
I have been known to brush my teeth in the shower, but that's because I'm like all about efficiency and multitasking and maximizing my time.
Same.
You know, I'm very like, okay, I can do this simultaneously. So I do that. I do a lot of my meetings while I'm walking. So let's say I have an appointment somewhere, I would walk to Soho. Sometimes I walk to East London. So it can be a 2-hour walk, and I managed to do like 3 conference calls. So I'm really like, okay, I want to multitask.
Totally. I love that. How old is your son?
18.
18 now. Cool. Presumably he told you that when he was a bit younger, or was that more of a recent discovery?
Recently. I'm quite shocked that I still do. But I haven't like figured that out myself.
Yeah. Your second piece of life advice is not to drink alcohol on planes. Can you convince me that this is a good idea? Because I just feel like it's the only thing I look forward to about taking a flight. So why should I not?
I mean, I used to get really drunk on planes, because I also felt like, you know, that's the only way I can make the time kind of move fast and stuff. You know, when I was like, I remember once I flew to Cuba when I was like maybe 15, 16. And we flew like the cheapest airline, Aeroflot, through Moscow. Oh, yeah. It was like awful. And I got so drunk. And when I came to Havana, I couldn't put my shoes on. My feet were so swollen. I was like, oh, God, what's wrong with my body? And then I kind of, you know, but for years, I just kept drinking on planes. And then it was actually Lena Klassen, who I work with, is my, she does all my facials and stuff, my beautician in Sweden. She just said, like, It's a terrible idea to drink on planes, because alcohol creates inflammation, and that combined with the air pressure, you know, you just blow up like a balloon. And a lot of times I fly to LA and I go straight into a photo shoot, or I go into a meeting or whatever. And then it's like, you know, you don't want to have a balloon face and like be, you know, have fingers where you can't put your rings on and you can't fit your shoes. So I was like, I'm going to try it. And it actually works.
Yeah.
And, you know, the latest thing I've started doing is to fast on planes. So I just kind of, I just drink water, not eat
really?
Either.
And that where's really the joy sense. Then? How do you kind of get through a long haul?
No, it's sleeping. Not about joy, Lottie. It's
okay.
Getting through.
Just getting
like,
through.
You know, eyes on the goal when you get there. Just like, I read a lot and I try to work on planes. But
okay.
Yeah, the joy parts are kind of taken out, sadly.
Yeah, for sure. Your third piece of advice, can you tell me a bit about this one and who told it to you?
Okay, so this is Brynna Rifkin, who is my publicist in LA. We are on a press tour. This is years ago. We're promoting The Drop. And we are in Toronto at the film festival. And we've been out, like, it's been like 3 nights of different parties and events. And I'm tired. And we've been going, like, it's been a full-on schedule. And it's like, I think it's the 3rd or 4th night. And I'm like, it's like 11 p.m. It's like, I really got to go back to the hotel to sleep. And she's like, didn't you have like a birthday party we're going to go to? And I was like, oh, damn, I forgot. And I was like, no, I'm going to go back. And she was like, no, you only remember the night you stayed up. You don't remember the night you slept. And I was like, that just stayed in me. And it was like tattooed into my mind. And I was like, that's right. That's a really good advice. And then I was like, I went to the party, obviously. And that kind of, her, you know, that's kind of, that saying has been echoing in me for years after. And it is true, but it's also, you know, it has a dark side.
Yeah. Was it a memorable party? Were you glad that you went?
I don't remember. But I was actually jet lagged and I was on an insane press tour and I was really tired.
Yeah.
It was probably good.
Do you find it easy to switch into having fun at parties, or do you kind of find that you sometimes have to like muster the right kind of energy to get into that zone?
I love a good party, but I don't drink when I'm working.
Right.
So when I'm filming, I don't drink. I don't go out. So, and I mean, I think it was last year, I didn't drink for 8 months at all. And like now I've been working for quite, you know, I think it's like 18 months pretty much nonstop. And I do have breaks when I've been having a little bit of party, but going out and like, you know, meeting my friends. But in general, I don't drink when I'm filming. So it can really, because I find it hard to, I can't really let go when I'm in the middle of shooting a movie and when a character is living in me, it kind of clashes. But between films, I do parties in my house. I love wig parties. I love theme parties. I love stupid dress up things and like.
Amazing. What's been some of your most iconic themes?
We had a 90s party. It was really good. I was Trinity from Matrix.
Amazing.
We had a party that was really memorable when me and my sister Vala, we were the Blues Brothers. So we had sideburns and, you know, we were men.
Amazing.
It was really nice. I do love to go all in if I go.
Yeah, I totally understand in that case why you can't like go all in when you're playing a role and like a huge part of you is sort of elsewhere during work. That makes sense. We're just going to jump to a quick advert break, but we'll be right back with Numi. And we're back with Numi, who's been giving us some of her life advice tips. And her fourth piece of life advice is pretend to yourself that you're brave enough, and you will be. I like this one. Can you tell me a bit about what it's meant to you throughout your life?
It was my grandmother in Iceland who told me, I think I was 7 or 8 maybe, and she was like, if you don't feel like you're brave enough, just pretend that you are and you will be. And I was like, what does she mean? And then I started kind of practicing it, and I realized that it does work. So I do pretend, I mean, I do, I kind of just translate that into a lot of things, pretend that I'm good at stuff, and then, you know, eventually you will be better. So it does work. And then you manage to like trick yourself to feel like it's possible, or you infuse some bravery into your system by saying that you are brave. And then all of a sudden you are a little bit braver, and then you manage to kind of change maybe a negative way of thinking or break out of a fear pattern by kind of skipping a few steps.
What do you feel are some of the bravest things that you've ever done?
I mean, every day on set is quite scary. Mm-hmm. And you just have to like find a way to be free and to not overthink and to not overanalyze, and still use like everything you prepared, you know, kind of find a way to be free in it. But I think that you need to be brave in those situations. And then just kind of moving to London was a big step to me. I didn't speak English and I didn't know anyone here. And it was just, I felt like I jumped off a cliff, and I was just hoping that I would have wings strong enough to carry me.
How old were you when you moved to London?
I was old. I mean, my son was 7, but it was a big change for me. I left kind of everything and everyone in Sweden and came here. And then my sister moved with us. She came like a year later or so, but we didn't have any family and I didn't have any friends. It was really like from scratch. And I've done a couple of those kind of massive radical changes, and every time it feels like this is too scary, I can't do this, and then you just do it, and then you realize like, oh, actually I've grown a bit, I'm a bit taller inside.
Yeah. What have been some of those other radical changes?
I left, I moved from my family when I was 15 to go to a drama school in Stockholm. It was also, you know, kind of on my own. I mean, just start, like, I would say I was doing underwater scenes maybe a month ago, and I was in this dress that was really heavy and I couldn't move in it. And I just started panicking underwater. It was really deep and I got really, the pressure like kind of pushing my head, and I felt like this is scary. Like this is, fear is really hitting me. And then I was like, I just had to force myself to be brave and be like rational and not let myself go into the place of anxiety. So I've done like extreme situations sometimes when you shoot things that are like it just feels like it's impossible. You just have to force yourself to be brave or trick yourself.
Have you ever jumped out of a plane?
No, I'm afraid of heights. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of water. I'm afraid of a lot of things that I've done. I'm afraid of fire. A lot of the things I've been doing on film, like when I'm shooting, is stuff I'm scared of. And it's most of the times it's my idea to put it in.
Wow.
And then when I'm on set, that's like, whose idea was this? It's a terrible idea.
What's your fifth piece of advice?
Don't accept to lose your time. And this is actually Francesca Comancini, who is a friend of mine and an amazing director. She directed Django, the first block of Django, the TV series I just finished. And she did Gomorra, the Italian show. Don't accept to lose your time. And that's kind of connects to what we spoke about in the beginning, brushing teeth in the shower, not lose time. And I want to monitor my time so I get as much done as possible. And I do find that time is the most valuable thing we have, and how you monitor your time and who you choose to give your time to. And you know, when I always come really well prepared to work, and I find it really annoying and weird when people are, you know, not prepared and are kind of, I'm losing time on things that shouldn't be lost, you know? And I was like, we could have gotten so much done now. And like, why are we spending time on this? And why are we losing time? And that makes me really annoyed.
That. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's so many reasons I couldn't be an actor, but one of them is I'm so impatient and I just wouldn't be able to cope with waiting for other people or things going wrong or having to do things again. I'd be like,
I'm in there with you. I'm a very impatient person. And the movie Lamb that is coming out soon, we were shooting with babies and lambs, and you know, I had to really work on my patience. It was hard. Like some days I was like, oh, I just want to scream, but it's like, breathe.
Yeah. Do you think there's an element of kind of control in that as well, of feeling like when you have to sort of relinquish the control and be like, I'm on someone else's time scale, there's literally nothing I can personally do here?
Yeah, but you can get a kick out of when you manage to take control of that annoyed state of mind, when you feel like you feel like you're walking on a minefield and you were the one putting out the mines.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you know, try to remember where you put them, and then it's like, you know what, just like accept the fact that this is out of your control and just like take things as it comes instead of trying to control it.
Yeah, it's quite freeing when you can get to that point. Your sixth piece of advice is to work with what's there and not against it. Tell me about this.
That's Goran Stolevski, an amazing director I worked with, who directed You Won't Be Alone, that is coming out in January, February. And that kind of ties into what we just said, you know, work with what's there, not against it. You know, it's like, you know, patience and to accept things. It's like, you know, I can't really control this. You know, I need to just make peace with what I have to deal with and make the best out of it. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you get into that mindset, you will have more fun, you will get more out of situations, and you will get into a better flow. Because I am a bit of a perfectionist, and I try to monitor things and plan it and map out how, you know, what's the best order of doing things. And it's like, and then it doesn't work that way. And then I get really like, aha, you know, and then it's like, okay, just take a step back and like, look, what do you have in front of you? Just make it work. Mm. And then most of the times it kind of, you know, it makes you happier.
I can imagine that was quite useful during the pandemic, when so much was out of control and the parameters that you were having to exist in, whether you liked it or not.
Yeah. I mean, I did. Yes. I was here for the first lockdown, but then I've been working. So I've been on sets just with a lot of rules that you can't interact with people outside of the bubble. Like, you can't travel. I couldn't go home. I couldn't see my son in quite some time, and, you know, stuff like that. So it was a lot of restrictions, but I've been working throughout most of the pandemic.
Okay. So did that just give you a focus and mean that you weren't having to sort of interact with it on the bigger scale? You could just sort of stay in the moment.
Yeah, which I do anyway when I'm working. So strangely enough, I've been busy working, and then, you know, kind of coming back to London and realizing that everyone else is in a quite different state of mind because they've been in this, you know, kind of lockdown situation, which is really stressful, and that people have lost, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I've been kind of disconnected with the pandemic a little bit because I've been working.
I can understand that. And personally, though, like, I find that a really inspirational piece of advice to work with what's there, not against it, because I think for me, like, with the pandemic and with all of these rules and lockdowns and fears now about what might happen, what might not happen, actually just saying, I'm just going to work with what I've got. And the fact is, this still exists. This pandemic still exists. There are travel restrictions. People are getting COVID. Like, to just think, I've just got to, they're my parameters, and I've got to find a way to be happy and comfortable and okay within what's there rather than trying to fight it. I'm going to keep that one. I'm going to write it in my little notebook after this. So thank you. Now, your bad advice is a familiar one. So your bad advice is, you only remember the nights you stayed up, not the nights you slept, which is something that we heard earlier as a piece of good advice. So how have we got it back here and this is now a piece of bad advice?
Because I lived by it a little bit too much at some point. Where you're like, you know, let's stay up, you know. And I've been spreading this advice to people, and like, kind of, I'm quite good at convincing people. And many nights where we should have slept, we did stay up, you know. And then next morning, you're just like crawling out of bed. Uh-huh. It's like, oh, it's just painful. And I was like, who said it was a good idea? Like, you did, you know. So it's like, I mean, that's the dark side, or the curse and a blessing to have that. You know, I do love, adventures, and I love doing things and talking. I love interacting with people and connecting with people. Mm-hmm. And then that many times do happen nighttime, and I love the nights, and I wish the nights were longer sometimes. But, I mean, it's a bad advice when you lose track of yourself and you start pushing it and you realize that you should have slept.
Yeah. Do you think there's a balance to be found of just being able to go out, have an amazing fun at a party, but sort of leave at that moment before a party shifts into being like a wild adventure that lasts until 8 a.m. the next morning?
Yeah, I'm working on that. That's the tricky part, because I've been like, most of the things I do in my life, I go all in. And I'm like, I rather don't like kind of drink for months and months and months, and then it's like, oh, there's a party, let's stay up to 8 in the morning, you know. But I'm working on finding more of a balance in my life.
Yeah.
And not being such an extremist.
An extremist, uh-huh. Cool. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing your good advice and your bad advice with us. I've personally found it really inspirational, actually, and interesting, and I've really enjoyed your energy, and thank you so much for making time to talk to us today. So, Nimi, your new film Lamb is out now.
It's out now. Yeah.
I really enjoyed speaking to Nimi and watching her pace kind of manically around her flat as we spoke. I really, really enjoyed her energy. Thanks for being with us. It was another great Grazia Life Advice episode, and I'll be back next time.